Certainly good to see everyone. A few smiling faces, a few of you that aren't afflicting yourself enough because you're still smiling, apparently. I don't think God just wants us to have a woe is me attitude today, but certainly to use that fast as Mr. Collison discussed. Just a few announcements before we get into the message. Reminder that we will have Sabbath services on the feast, or on the Sabbath after the feast, which is the 28th. Normal time, normal location. And then just a reminder, everybody, or a lot of us are pretty jacked up about getting ready for the feast and leaving for the feast. And let's remember that there are a decent number of our brothers and sisters that are staying home this year. And not forget about them while we're getting ready for the feast and while we're at the feast. Pray for them. If you have time, send cards or things like that. But let's not forget the rest of the family that isn't going to be going to the feast this year. I hope that you've had an opportunity last night and this morning to take advantage of this holy day, and that you have spent time on this holy day. It's so close to the Feast of Tabernacles that a lot of times our thoughts and our energy kind of have a tendency to skip past this day and just focus on the Feast of Tabernacles. So hopefully we did take advantage and we did spend some time, extra time in prayer and study over the last few days focused on this holy day. And I hope that your prayer life has been strong as we approach the Feast of Tabernacles and as we approach this holy day. It's a time where we need all the help we can get, because this is a time when Satan really does try to get to us. So hopefully, all of us have been able to feel a sense of closeness to God while we're praying, while we're studying, as we're approaching this day, and that you've been able to develop, that sense of intimacy, the sense of closeness that you have sometimes while you pray. I know there are different, I think all of us have swings in our prayer life, times where we really feel like we're communicating directly with God and that He hears us and we actually receive answers from Him, and then other times where that link isn't quite as close. Do you ever wish for more than that sense of closeness that you feel when your prayer life is good? Do you ever wish that you had more than that? Do you ever imagine what it would be like if you were able to actually hear God speak to you? To hear Him answer? Do you ever wish for that? Or maybe you've gone beyond that and you've thought about how awesome it would be if you could sit down with God over a nice thick steak dinner. This is my Day of Atonement part of the message. Smelling that warm bread, drinking a cold beverage. Have you ever thought how awesome that would be if you had an opportunity to have that kind of face-to-face time with God, where you could sit down and actually talk to Him and see His reaction to your questions and see Him respond to the things that you said or the things that you asked? God's plan for mankind is to give mankind that opportunity. That opportunity to have that kind of a relationship with Him. A different relationship than is possible right now. Different relationship than even is possible with us. And one of the messages of this holy day is a reminder that that's what God wants for mankind, that kind of a relationship, that kind of closeness. And He has a plan and he's working out that will make that possible, that will change that relationship. I'd like to read a few Old Testament scriptures as we get into this message. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. We'll look at a few examples and eventually focus on the part of this message that we're going to look at for the rest of the afternoon. Exodus 33. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. Now this passage, the events that we're going to read about, happened right after Israel had made the golden calf, worshipped the golden calf. In some ways, ignored what God had said. God was frustrated with Israel. He was pretty sick of them. He called them stiff-necked. And then we read, beginning in verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside of the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside of the camp. Moses separated himself from the rest of Israel. His tent had been right in the middle, or somewhere right in the middle. He had been among them, but he separated himself from their sinfulness, from their rejection, and said, I'm going to separate myself, and if you want to know anything from God, you're going to need to come out to where my tent is pitched. We'll continue reading in verse 8. So it was when Moses went out, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that tent, all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his door, at his door. So Moses established a tabernacle of meeting, which is really a precursor to the temple, to the tabernacle that God described. But at this point, it was just a place where God came and where Moses was. If anyone wanted to find out God's will in their life, they had to come out to see Moses. And he would take their questions and their petitions to God whenever God descended in that cloud. One of the commentaries, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, writes about this passage that we just read. Said, not the tabernacle of which a pattern had been given to him, for that wasn't yet erected, but a simpler one, perhaps just his own tent, in a part of which he heard causes, questions, and judgments, and communed with God about the people's interests. In this provisional or interim tabernacle, no sacrifices were offered. Moses discharged his mediatory functions, consulting God on behalf of those who applied for design counsel and received revelation of the design will. Then we'll read one more verse. We'll continue and read verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. As a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. God descended, and God talked to Moses face to face as a friend. Moses had an opportunity to do what I described at the beginning here, to sit down with God face to face and talk to God. What an opportunity that must have been for him. And this continued for a while. This wasn't a one-time instance. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Moses to be face to face with God? And that term, face to face, is used in a number of other places in the Bible. And it really will be the focus of this message, looking at how that's used and what it tells us about this day. It's used to describe a different experience from what the way God communicated with people normally. And that term has a very direct relationship to the meaning of this day, being face to face with God. Turn to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. You We'll begin reading in verse 3. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, the three of you, come out to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three of them went out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward, and he said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. God said, the normal way that I communicate with someone who I'm working with, who I've chosen, is to speak to them through dreams or through visions. That's the normal way that someone I've separated and I've chosen to be special. But then he continues and said, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. Even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Because in verse 1 and 2, what we have is a little sibling problem. Aaron and Miriam are saying, Moses isn't that special. He's not the only one that God has talked to. Who does he think he is? So God decided, I'm going to nip this in the bud and I'm going to point out the difference between Moses and the two of you. And he said, again, I speak to Moses face to face. Excuse me. Again, saying, when I really believe someone is special, when I have a very special relationship with someone, I speak to them face to face. I speak to them directly. So that was how God dealt with Moses. That was the relationship God had with Moses. And God told Miriam and Aaron, that relationship is beyond a relationship I would have with a prophet, beyond a relationship I would have with anyone else. That's a very special relationship to me. And just as a sidelight, and kind of as, because it's related to this day as well. But it's interesting that this description just kind of drops verse 3 into the middle of it. You have the verses 1 and 2 that are Aaron and Miriam backbiting a little bit. And then you have God talking to them. But verse 3 says, Moses was very humble. More than anyone else on the earth. And as it relates to what we're doing today, the fasting that we're doing to humble ourselves shows that humbleness was part of Moses' character and part of the reason that God could have that special relationship with him. It led to God being able to work with him. So let's turn to another example in Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, and we'll begin reading in verse 24. This is the story of Jacob wrestling. Verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, this is the man, the being that Jacob was wrestling against, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then this being said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. Jacob knew that he was wrestling with certainly someone that was not just a physical human being, or he wouldn't have asked for a blessing. He knew that there was something special going on here. And then we'll continue with the story. Verse 27, so he said to him, what's your name? He said, Jacob. My name is Jacob. And he said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob asked, saying, well, what's your name? What's your name? And he said, why is it that you ask my name? Basically saying, you don't really need me to tell you what my name is. You know who I am. And Jacob showed that he knew who it was. In verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God, face to face, and my life is preserved. Jacob, again, had an opportunity to see God face to face. And God blessed him, started the nation of Israel, essentially right at that spot, recognizing the qualities of Jacob. So this place became special. This place was named specifically because it was the place where Jacob had the opportunity to see God face to face. Now I'd like to look at a few scriptures that deal with the observance of the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. We'll turn to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16, we'll read verse 2 to begin with. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. God said, Aaron can't just come into the holiest of holies anytime he feels like it. There is only a specific time when I'm going to allow any high priest to come into my presence. And we'll see that that was and is this day as we read a few more verses here. Let's jump down to verse 6. Aaron shall offer the bull of a sin offering, which is for himself, to make atonement for himself and for his house. And he'll take the two gates and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron will cast lots on the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat, for the Azazel. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell, to be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Certainly things that we've read about and we know are part of the Day of Atonement, but just in case there's still any doubts about whether this is related to that day and that there was only that one day God intended for any high priest to be able to come and see him face to face, let's jump down to verse 29. Verse 29 begins, this shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you will afflict your souls. Do no work on it, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that all will be clean from all of your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you will afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. So part of the observance, part of the Old Testament observance of this day was to recognize that it was the only day that the high priest was allowed into the Holy of Holies. That part of the meaning of this day, part of the privilege of this day, was that at that time the high priest was going to be able to be face to face, be in the presence of God. Because God would descend, says in a cloud, more than likely it was in a cloud, not as a cloud. God's presence would be there and he would use a cloud to prevent anyone from the high priest from seeing him directly, because any living being would die if they did that. So the Day of Atonement was a time where God gave a figurative opportunity for man to see, to be with him face to face, for the high priest to see him face to face. And it's the only time that that was allowed. This is described a little bit more in the New Testament. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. Hebrews 9, verse 6. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, into the holiest of holies, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was still standing. The way into the holiest, the way into God's presence, the opportunity for anyone to be fully in God's presence wasn't yet made manifest. It wasn't yet available during the Old Covenant. But it was a reminder that that was God's intention, because he allowed that one man, the high priest, to go in there. And verse 9 says it was symbolic for the present time. It was a symbol in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which can't make him who performed the service perfect with regard to conscience. And then we'll continue reading in verse 10. Concerning only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of restitution. But Christ came, verse 11, Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Through Christ's blood, through his sacrifice, he entered that holy place and made it available for all. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. A promise of the eternal inheritance. This is what part of what God has promised is that opening, that opportunity. We know that when Christ died, there was a symbol that occurred when he was crucified, that the veil of the temple, that the physical temple, was split as an indication that that way to God was being made available, that access to God was available. And we have access to God now through our prayers. Access to God. But we don't have that face to face yet. The fulfillment of this day, of what this day pictures, points to a time when mankind will have a chance, will have that chance to have the return to the relationship that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden, when they were able to walk with God and be face to face with God. So in many ways, the recreation of the relationship that God wanted with mankind from the beginning. And this day pictures that. Part of Israel's problem was they really didn't want that kind of relationship with God. They didn't want to be that close to God. Remember when God spoke to them from Mount Sinai? They didn't say, yes, great. They said, Moses, you go talk to him. He's a little too loud for us. There's a little too much going on there. And the world doesn't want that kind of relationship with God right now. They don't even know that it's possible. They don't really understand what it would be like. It's only those that God has called that understand the possibility, understand what that relationship might be like. But I think we don't just want that kind of relationship, but we really long for that relationship when we think about it. That kind of relationship excites us. And that's what God wants as well. God wants that kind of relationship. And I think it appears that David understood this part of God's plan as well. And he had that longing as well. We're going to read a few verses in Psalm 65 that I think show that. Psalm 65. We'll begin reading in verse 2, Psalm 65, verse 2. O you who hear prayers, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for my transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Excuse me, verse 4. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you. Blessed is the man who you allow to come before you, to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. This isn't just talking about being able to talk to God in prayer, but to be able to see God face to face, to be with God. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house and of your holy temple. Verse 5, by awesome deeds of righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas. Awesome deeds of righteousness. There isn't a more awesome deed of righteousness than Christ's sacrifice, which opened the way, which opened the door, which makes it possible for us to have that relationship with God. You know, David is so much like us. He sees his sin prevailing over him. He sees that he is weak. He sees that he gives into sin too many times. He's found with sin. But he was encouraged because he understood that God was going to provide true atonement. You know, they were doing the temple sacrifices when David was alive. He wasn't talking about animal sacrifices being the atonement. He knew that there was more. He knew that there was a true atonement that was to come. And he said, how blessed is the man who has the opportunity to come and see you face to face, to approach you, to live where you are, to be in your presence. And it is. That's an awesome opportunity and possibility that is in front of us, that is pictured by this day. Turn back to Hebrews, and we're going to read in chapter 4. Chapter 4, Hebrews, beginning in verse 14. The awesome righteousness of Christ's deeds. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are and yet did not sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ's sacrifice gives us the opportunity right now to boldly come before the throne of God in prayer. At a certain level of our relationship. And that's a great blessing. We should never take that for granted or think that and somehow minimize that, because that's an awesome blessing to be able to come before God and actually have Him hear our prayers. But it isn't the end of God's plan. God doesn't intend to stand off and look down on his minions for eternity. God has been working since the beginning of creation for a better relationship than that, for a more deep relationship than that. And this day pictures that time when that relationship becomes fulfilled and available for all of mankind, when mankind is able to see God face to face. One more past set of scriptures we'll read is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 13, 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, or we teach, or we understand in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. We have partial knowledge right now. We have partial understanding of what God's planned. We've experienced a part of the relationship that He has planned for us. But when that which is perfect, when Christ returns, then there'll be an opportunity to understand to get the full experience, to have that complete relationship that God wants with all of mankind. Let's continue now in verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly. But then, in the future, when that perfect Son of Righteousness has returned, then we will see face to face. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know, or I shall know, just as I am also known. Saying, right now we only see a reflection of what God wants for us. We only have a reflection of the relationship that God really wants with us. It's not the whole, it's not the true. But when Christ returns, and certainly when the events that are pictured by this day are fulfilled, we won't have to just look at that reflection of God. We'll be able to see God face to face. Meet God face to face. Be with God face to face. And that relationship will be one that is more intimate. As he said here, sometimes we read through that last passage, that last statement that he said, then I shall know just as I also am known. Just as God knows each one of us intimately. Just as God knows when we lose a hair on our head. He said, when this happens, I'll know God with that same level of intimacy. Just as intimate as God knows me now, I will know God then. An intimate relationship with God. A personal relationship with God. That's what God wants for mankind. And that's what this day pictures, or part of what this day pictures. There are many aspects of the Days of Atonement. We've heard two very different messages today that both reflect part of the meaning of this day. There are parts that should cause us to humble ourselves, to look at ourselves, to sober us. And there are also parts that should bring us great joy and fill us with a sense of anticipation for the things that are to come, for the fulfillment of God's plan. This message, the things we've been talking about in this message, certainly are part of that second group. And it should fill us with joy. It should fill us with a sense of anticipation. As we understand what God wants, the relationship God wants to have with each one of us. That once Satan is put away, as is part of the picture of this, God can finally have that relationship. Before there can be a relationship, there has to be an atonement. That's shown all the way through the Bible. That's part of the Old Testament practice, and it's described in the New Testament. But once that atonement is made, then the table is set for the final fulfillment We're incredibly blessed to be called right now. Very blessed to be called right now. We're blessed to be able to go boldly before the throne of our Creator in our prayers right now and know that God hears them. Use that blessing. Use that understanding, but use it also with understanding where God wants to go. That He isn't going to end there. It's not His desire to end our relationship with us praying to Him in some distant throne. He wants more and He's planned for more. God's looking forward to the fulfillment of the events that are pictured by this day. He's looking forward to it. So let's make sure that we join Him. We join Him in our anticipation right now. But make sure that we do what we need to do so that it isn't just anticipation, but that is fulfilled ultimately when all of mankind is able to see our Father face to face.